opinions expressed on this WebmasterRadio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WebmasterRadio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the Internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. It is Thursday, April the 7th. It's top of the hour, 11 a.m. on the Pacific Coast, 2 p.m. on the Atlantic Coast. And this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from Beanstalk SEO. And it's a pure news show today. I guess you can read that as Dave and I were both way too busy this week to actually go out and troll for a guest. But we do have some interesting stuff to talk about. It's been a pretty diverse news week, eh, Dave?
It has. I mean, it's really been all over the place. And, I mean, I think the fact that our week started, since our last show, our week started on April 1st. And so I think that just carries us through and sort of defined the kind of week that was to come in its diversity and a little bit of craziness. But yeah, we've got some interesting stuff. You sent me a couple links too before the show to stuff that I hadn't picked up on yet, and I thought that was really neat. So and we'll get into it in a minute. But the Google employees and rumors around some bonuses that were offered and stuff like that. So,
indeed, that's hilarious, eh?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We may as well just jump right in. I'm sure we can easily eke out 10 to 15 minutes per topic, and we have at least five major topics to talk about. In order, does Google have moles in other large tech firms? Panda update promoting big brand sites. Gmail is going to be bringing us better ads. ClickZ is pronouncing this the era of Search 3.0. We've got to take a look at what the heck that exactly means. And I do want to talk about the security breach at the Texas firm Epsilon. The trends in hacking and in security. It drives me crazy. I don't want to jump on this right now, but while I've mentioned it, Dave, we've been talking on this show, Webcology, and hundreds of other tech media outlets, either individual bloggers or large publications like Web Pro News, Search Engine Watch, Search Engine Land, TechCrunch, etc. We've been talking for years about personal security, taking responsibility. And you see computer users doing that, but at least once a week, twice a week, or every couple of weeks, we get these stories about major data breaches. So individuals are taking precautions, and that's very cool, very good. And, the consumer's educating themselves, but the corporations, they're not. It's terrible. But I want to get to that last because, there's far more interesting and funny stuff to talk about. And may as well just jump right in. What do you think, Dave? Does Google have moles in other large tech firms?
No, they wouldn't do that. It's all sort of based on conjecture, right, at this point, is what they seem to have offered a bonus a little bit earlier, then maybe they should have. Let's just actually go and sort of define the story a little bit for our listeners who may not have it, and I'll do it in its loosest form. Great article over at PC World. Thanks, Jim, for passing that on to me. Google, it basically has been reportedly, anyway, offered a couple incentives in the form of shares to a couple of their employees to the tune of $50 and $100 million to two separate employees. The theory behind this being that these employees were being wooed by Twitter, and Google came in, and at least in one case, ahead of where they should have known. that these employees were being sort of headhunted by Twitter. So the rumor thus goes, Google must have moles at Twitter in order to have access to this information to offer to give the counter offer. The numbers themselves are kind of, you know, staggering of a sort. Seriously, $100 million. How much can you spend in your life, Jim? What do you think? Could you spend $100 million? This isn't Brewster's Millions here.
Yes. Yes, I could. Take me to SES San Francisco, get another one of those poker games going, and yes, I could easily spend $100 million in damage to the room alone.
Maybe build yourself a pyramid in the Nevada desert.
Anyone who was at that infamous poker game listening will remember that night.
Now, your question, of course, then became, you know, do we believe that there's actually a mole at Twitter? Do I think that Google has somebody there? Mine will only be opinion. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, there's no way I'd go, oh, that'd be horrible. I know if I was Google, and I knew that Twitter, and if they have one on Twitter, they probably have one on Facebook, they probably have one, you know, in some other major firms. I know if I was them, I would have, let's call them consultants, working at other firms for me. At this scale, it's going to have to be at such a high level that I think Twitter needs to take a look at it. Is this unethical? I don't know. It depends what side of the coin you're on. If you're over at Twitter, it is. If you're at Google, it's not. Right? I mean, you know, if I was Google, would I hire consultants at other major tech firms? Probably. I probably would, because you can't afford to lose your key staff like this. So yeah, I mean, I would say it's highly likely that they do. On the counter to that, do I think other, you know, high level, do I think Twitter has moles over at Google? Probably. I know I would if I were them too.
Tech journalists, I got moles in a bunch of different companies, and I wouldn't call them moles. They're not moles. They're just people who tell me things, you know?
It's not like I'm out there trying to dig up dirt on this, that, or whatnot.
But, you know, it's not like I'm out there trying to dig up dirt on whomever, on whatever firm, but, you know, I regularly have people tell me stuff. And, you know, they shouldn't be telling me this stuff, and I consider them my moles. Would Google have a mole at Facebook? Absolutely, I'm sure. Or at Twitter? Absolutely, I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
Of course they do. Corporate espionage is as old as, well, corporations themselves. What's Bob's Hamburger Stand doing today? If I'm Ruth's Hamburger Stand, I really want to know. Now, hamburger stands, we're talking maybe the tens of thousands of dollars in revenues per week. For both Twitter and Google, tens of thousands of dollars is pocket change in revenues per second. Like, of course they got moles. This is multi-billion-dollar businesses. The thing I find most interesting about this story is apparently the folks over at Twitter are quote-unquote steaming mad. Is this going to do anything to the the vague alliance, the rough alliance we see between Twitter and Google?
You know, I don't think so, and here's why. Because the mad party is the one that needs the other more. You know, I mean, it's you know, they can be as mad as they want, but right now Google's showing, not for all phrases, but for some, Google's showing Twitter, you know, feeds in some of their search results, especially if you click that latest button in your search tools on the left, right? You see a lot more Twitter stuff. Does Google need Twitter? No, Google will crawl what they want. If they want some information out of Twitter, they'll just crawl it, right? I mean, so they don't really need an alliance with Twitter per se. Does Twitter need them? Well, I've clicked on those latest news. I've clicked on Twitter feeds on Google. I've given Twitter traffic simply because they're showing up in Google. So, Twitter can be mad. If I was Google, I'd go ahead, you know, get it out of your system, because, you know, you need me more than I need you. So,
I'm not sure I totally agree with you on that, Dave, in that I think that that Google very much needs Twitter. It needs entrance into the social media, into where the majority of tech users are actually hanging out right now. Mm-hmm. And it's not getting that from Facebook. That's not going to happen. Facebook and Google are like oil and water right now. They hate each other.
Right.
And also, we see that Bing has gotten into bed with Facebook. Thus, if Google didn't have something going with Twitter, Bing would have a major advantage over them with live stream search, live time search. Is Google making good use of its alliance with Twitter? Well, that's debatable. But from an SEO perspective, I know I'm using Twitter a lot more to push relevant links in Google.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I mean, you know, a valid point. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of discussions now going on constantly. I mean, it's first time I've had this discussion was when we had Rand on the show. I've seen it many more times in the forums. I was just having a discussion with your nice friend Christine yesterday about Twitter and its impact and some evidence she's seeing of, you know, tweets also impacting Google rankings. You know, so you do bring up a valid point in going forward. Yeah, Google may need Twitter a little more than maybe they do right now, than from what we're seeing at the outside. Where will Twitter go? Where would Google go to collect this information, you know, afterwards? Can Twitter hide the information that Google needs? Who is more valuable to who? I mean, I think we can all agree, yeah, Google may have a significant interest in Twitter. But I think if it came down to who needs who more, who can benefit who more, I mean, that's pretty clear, right? I mean, you know, Google's monstrous and Twitter is monstrous, but not, these are not the same thing. And so, you know, I think, you know, going forward, you know, getting back to the main point, though, that we're talking about here is, yes, they're steaming mad. You know what? They've got moles in Google. Right, I mean, that, and that's, I can, you know, I don't know it, you know, for like, I couldn't point to a name, but you know they do, right? So, you know, yes, are they really steaming mad, or are they, crap, you know, we can, you know, you beat us this time, darn it. You know, and the next time they were trying to headhunt key Google employees, like, seriously. And now they're mad that Google, you know, beat them to the punch and offered more money. I mean, you know, had they won, Google would be steaming mad, right? I mean, and this is the way business is done, right? I mean, and so, you know, are they steaming mad? Well, sure, maybe they are. They're steaming mad because they got caught trying to headhunt from Google, one of their quote-unquote alliances, right?
Before there's that side of it as well. I think it might be worth looking at who they were trying to headhunt and what these fellas do. The first person they were trying to go after was Sundar Pichai. I'm likely butchering the last name, as I often do, but Sundar Pichai. And Sundar was the, or is, I should say, a vice president of product management at Google, responsible for desktop strategy, and he's the fellow who leads the Chrome OS team. So he's making the back-end operating system that Google is going to use as a platform to, well, be basically an alternative web over the Chrome system.
Mm-hmm.
The other was Neil Monahan, vice president of product management at Google, the fellow who runs DoubleClick, the display ad company Google purchased 4 years ago. So I think we got to look at these as signals to what Twitter wants to do with itself. And again, we're looking at what's become a multi-billion-dollar business. Twitter still hasn't quite figured out how to get into the ad game yet, but we know it really wants to. And both of these people, Neil Monahan and Sundar Pichai, would be ideal candidates. As it stands now, Jack Dorsey, the one of Twitter's founders and the new CEO, the new president of the company has stepped up to take those positions.
Which I mean, and you know, somewhere at Google they've got to be a little nervous, and probably some other major tech companies as well, because you know that wasn't their first pick, obviously, because they were headhunted. This is, you know, he'll do for now, but you've got to know that they're not going to stop. Like, that they're not going to just go, all right, well, we don't really need the one that we really wanted. That they will proceed to try and acquire somebody else, likely from Google. I mean, if nothing else, just to do it. and try and pull somebody else into the team to fill that role, which makes sense to me. I mean, if you've got other people that you wanted ahead of that person, and then you end up with that person, basically you know there's somebody more adept at that specific role, and you're going to want to fill that with the most adept person. So I have a feeling this is not a story that we'll never hear about again. I have a feeling we may be discussing many of these same people again in future shows. It'll probably be months from now. But I have a hunch we'll be talking same story, different numbers.
Probably. Although I got to say, to quote from this article in PC World, does all this speculation, does all this minor, if best, evidence points to there being a mole? Maybe not. Does $150 million being thrown around in bonuses to stay where you are point to how important these men's positions are, both at Google and potentially to Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, $150 million is not casual money, even if you're Google.
No. Yeah, no, very true.
Let's move along. There's other interesting stuff happening in the tech world. And you know what? I think it's quarter after the hour now. I think we should probably take a break, because the next topic we're going to touch, the Panda update promoting big brand sites.
Yeah,
I think that might take a few minutes. So on behalf of Dave Davies from Beanstalk SEO, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You're listening to Webcology on WebmasterRadio.fm. It's Thursday, April the 7th, quarter after the hour. Stick around. We'll be back after these messages.
And don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break.
Two, one, boost to ignition.
Ascend into new heights of ranking and revenue with a search engine friendly online shopping cart that's ready for liftoff. Introducing Ascender Cart. Ascender Cart optimizes your shopping cart with easy-to-use SEO tools that will help build keywords, titles, and tags for top search engine rankings. Get all of the advantages of having a shopping cart on your site and monitor your progress with regular reports in just a click. Prepare to launch your shopping cart to the top of the search engines with Ascender Cart. Learn more about what Ascender Cart can do for you at AscenderCart.com. AscenderCart.com.
If you're looking for a new multifaceted SEO and social media toolset, look for the Raven. Raven has the important tools that every internet marketer needs. Raven offers customized metrics for managing link building campaigns, social media campaigns, with campaign reporting and research tools that you can easily manage. Build up campaign performance for your clients and give your team the tools that will make them soar. If you want to increase your internet marketing revenue, look for the Raven. Go to RavenTools.com. That's RavenTools.com.
PPC Rockstars. Get ready to rumble through the latest PPC news and views from around the blogosphere. Learn from our host, David Zatella, and the PPC pros that will take you to the promised land of PPC profit. PPC Rockstars. Live broadcast Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the advertising channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. It's 20 minutes past the hour. This is show was recorded on Thursday, April the 7th, 2011. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from Beanstalk SEO. And Dave, WebPro News today reports that the massive SEO firm, global-sized SEO firm, iCrossing, has done a fairly authoritative study on the effects of the Panda update. Panda/Farmer update. Google's most recent major algorithmic change. And according to iCrossing, which happens to represent a bunch of big brands, the Panda update is very beneficial for big brands. Just to give a quick thumbnail rundown of some of the big brand clients iCrossing enjoys getting paychecks from. AAA, Auto Trader, BMW, Chevron, Coca-Cola, EA Games, eBay, FedEx, Hyundai, Kia, Marie Claire, Mary Kay, MasterCard, Mazda, Nokia, Porsche, Lego, and Toyota. Those are some big brands. Now, you'd think these big brands can compete pretty well without an SEO firm, but iCrossing, again, one of the largest online marketing firms in the world, represents dozens, hundreds of very large brands, and if anyone's got the data to examine the most recent update, Google update, Panda/Farmer, and its effect on large brand websites, it's definitely these folks over here at iCrossing.
So, yeah, well, they've done a number of good studies in the past. I thought this was interesting to see.
Okay.
But I think if we, and you and I have discussed Panda in the past, we've discussed it with guests, and it's interesting because really this puts numbers and confirmation about what we all already knew. In a weird way, right? I mean, and I love getting confirmation. I think this is a valuable thing for them, for iCrossing to provide. But I think if we really think about it, what is Google trying to reward with this Panda update? What are they trying to accomplish with this Panda update? Well, they're trying to get rid of duplicate content. They're rewarding sites that are rich in content and have a lot of stuff, a lot of resources on them, that have good stick times on them, you know, all of these things. And when we think about it, well, who has these elements inherent in them? The big brands do. They have branding. They have, you know, conversion optimizing. They have everything in place. They have the top designers. They have, you know, Tim Ash doing their conversion optimization. They got, some excellent SEOs like iCrossing working with them to make sure that they've got the content in the back end. I mean, everything was in place for them. And then when Panda launched, these things would have been helping them for years now, but then Panda really just put it to the next level and defined that these things are important. And something else that's going to be helping them, and I'm sure you've seen it as well, is sort of the natural link diversity and the natural branding signals that their links are going to be sending through as well. It seems to have really been kickstarted during this last series of updates as well. And so you end up with a spot where, yeah, their update that was Google's update that was really geared to trying to push the cream to the top to make sure that the visitor experience was superior, just naturally set in motion an environment that was really going to push those brands up. Now, will that last forever? Is of course the case that we have to ask ourselves, because we all know, and we've chatted about this before too, that Google is watching what happens when sites appear, right? So there's this natural, the algorithm happens, the shuffles happen, brands rise to the top, but if those brands don't perform well, then they won't stay there, but they're certainly given, it's their kick at the can now, it is theirs to lose. And as long as they've got a good user experience in place and that they're using those resources properly, I would say that long term they could very well be in a far superior position to anything that they've had in the past. And I mean, let's be honest, brands have always had it a little easier than the rest of us when it comes to ranking on Google just by sheer power. And this certainly has helped them out, especially the brands that had a solid SEO strategy in place that involved, and I know you're going to love it, and so is Christine, that involved content. It was really proactive in content and providing resources, and that, lo and behold, actually cared about their visitors and really pushed their experience, get their experience up. And yeah, I think it just makes sense. Will it help the searcher? I think overall it will. I think there's some cases we can all, you know, see now where the searcher is not helped, where it's caused a shuffle and there's collateral results that have really just not provided a beneficial situation. But give Google time. They'll collect the data of what's not working there, which sites don't deserve to be up there, even though the other signals are in place saying they should, and which ones don't provide a solid user experience for given queries. And down they'll go, and I think overall this is a good move for me as a searcher. Pain in the butt for me as an SEO, especially an SEO who also has, you know, small to mid-sized businesses that are now trying to compete against brands. But as a searcher, and that's how I have to think about algorithms, as a searcher, it's a superior environment to be in a lot of ways, especially once Google collects what the problems are and fixes them.
Well, you know, something I'd like to put out there. Maybe Google is not rewarding big brands. Maybe it's not. Maybe just the evidence suggests that it is. See, search ranking is a zero-sum game. For you to get number one, somebody has to not be number one, right?
Right.
So, say a cheapest hotels in the world.com. I'm pretty sure that domain doesn't exist. CheapestHotelsInTheWorld.com out there scraping information off of hotel sites, other travel sites, just basically compiling their data from scraping from others, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, trying to find the cheapest deal for whatever consumer. Those are the kind of pages, the kind of websites that Panda seem to be targeting. We want to degrade these types of websites because they're not as helpful to the user as the actual hotel site, the actual airline site, etc. We also know that Google's moving into the travel game, so travel mightn't be the very best example to use, but search ranking is definitely a zero-sum game. So if the low-class content scraper site loses positioning, it stands to reason whatever is trailing after it in search rankings will gain position. So perhaps the big brands aren't being promoted with the Panda/Farmer update as much as low-quality content sites that were ranking number one for a number of reasons are now being degraded, being replaced by the sites that should have been there in the first place. So this could actually be the law of unintended consequences. We don't know.
Well,
that's the fun thing about this. At the end of the day,
you bring up a valid point, and I love when people bring up aspects, different ways of looking at things, right? And you're right. It may not be an issue of big brands being rewarded. It may be an issue of, you know, by the same factors, because they have content, because they have good user experiences, blah, 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 but they didn't get punished. Right, so it's not that they were you know, given a reward. It's that they weren't punished. At the end of the day, though, they take the position. I think that's a great way to look at it. And which of these is true? Who knows?
Well, indeed, you know what? A little bit of both might be true. As you said, we don't know. All we can do is make best guesses.
And at the end of the day, as long as we go, here are the factors. Whether it gave them a bump or whether it just stopped them from being hindered, either way, that factor wins. So either way, the result is going to be the same. We need to chart after a good user experience, sites with good resources, the things we should have been doing at the beginning, for our users. Really, those bites are being rewarded. I know I've chatted with you a few times. I know copy is getting more and more prevalent, and having tools and this and that is all getting to be something that I think we're all discussing with a lot more of our clients now, and really reinforcing that good user experience. I'm sure Tim Ash is busier than a one-armed paper hanger, whatever that means, these days.
Tim, you know what, there's got to be a Speedos joke in here somewhere, but I just can't find it. Dang! I imagine Tim and his friends down there in San Diego are hopping like mad these days, and rightly so, they should be. With the, you know, everything is directing towards unique landing pages now, whether it be a bit.ly link or a truncated link in Twitter. or links off of a Facebook business or profile page. It's all got to be directed to, you know, have a specific landing page. And let's face it, these days, your index page is not your landing page. Your homepage, index page, is not the... things are much more specific now and much more granular. And if you're spending the money on a social media campaign, again, the truncated links in Facebook or the links posted on... or in Twitter, sorry, or the links posted on Facebook, you're not wasting your money by sending people to the index page. You're wasting your money sending them to a page that somebody like Tim Ash and SiteTuners has designed for you. And then you're not wasting your money. Hopefully, you're, you know, the page is of such a quality that the consumer just can't help but purchase.
Right.
Can't help but
or at least you're wasting less. You know, sometimes you're just going to lose money because the campaign is not going to work. We've all seen those paid campaigns, I'm sure.
Oh, goodness gracious, we have seen those paid campaigns. There's a couple of fellows who are listening right now in San Diego who are laughing their asses off at that, at what you just said. And I can't tell you why, but I know that they are. let's move along here. Speaking of paid campaigns that may or may not work, do you use Gmail at all, Dave?
I do. I use it... quite a bit. It's not, you know, obviously I use domain emails primarily, but yes, I do. I use a lot of Gmail. And I like it.
I love Gmail. I love, you know, I was happy with Yahoo Mail. I was happy with MSN Mail, but Gmail is just, you know, very easy to use, convenient, intuitive, etc. And since, you know, my life is literally almost always on the road, having to reset my settings every time I'm in a new hotel or in a new place, I hate that. So I use Gmail. It's great. And I just, you know, forward everything into my Gmail account now. Well, and same with my business. Digital Always Media uses Google Apps as one of our email providers. Just because Alan and I are on the road constantly. Mm-hmm. And so it's just that much easier. And so now Gmail is promising us better ads. I mean, the thing that's most insulting about this is there is the assumption that I enjoyed the ads in the first place. You know, I understand, got to have the ads, got to pay for the service. I'm all good with that. Totally down with that. But the question is, what are they doing?
Yeah, well, anytime I hear something like that from Google, it just inherently has to make me a little nervous. I don't think that the folks at Google are evil by any stretch of the imagination. But the only way that they can come up with better ads is if they crawl deeper and find out ways of using semantics to basically understand what my email is better. And the idea of having something reading through of having something understanding more about what my private communications will be with either clients or my friends, inherently there is a part of me that does not like that because I don't want that to happen. Now, the other side to that may be, if it doesn't necessarily even have to be a more semantic crawler, if they're going to start making changes to the actual interface and going, hey, when it's going out through email, you know, do it this way. When it's on Gmail, you know, as two advertisers going, hey, here's some tips, here's some ways to craft these things, and here's how we're just going to be putting these in, and these ones are built for Gmail and this and that. If they're going that route more as a service to help us as advertisers target more into Gmail, great, no problem. If they're getting into a deeper crawl and finding ways to better understand what my private communications are, even if it's a machine, I don't like it. I just don't. Privacy. You're more of a privacy advocate than I am, so I'm sure you have an even stronger opinion about having machines reading your communications.
Well, let me interject in there.
But I think Braska wants to jump in with something.
Yeah, because, you know, when you brought this up this morning, I was listening to I don't listen always to Webmaster Radio all the time because I, you know, produce quite a bit of it. But I was listening to a wrestling podcast this morning. And, you know, one of the hosts mentioned the fact that on his Gmail he saw the same message. But when he read about it, what was said by Google was they were going to plan to do more relevant, more ads were going to be relevant to what you search for, I guess. I don't know if it was somewhere where this is going to be more sensitive to what your search habits are. The other thing that we're going to offer were coupons and deals that might be beneficial to you as part of the ad. So there'll be specials and coupons that you might want to participate in.
So all you folks who are waiting for that Groupon IPO.
Wait a minute, what's the name of Google's new service that's supposed to compete with Groupon?
Oh, you know what? I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I know that they just picked something up, and that's certainly perked up the ears of the FTC or FC Federal Trade Commission FTC, which is going to be doing a antitrust investigation into Google.
Well, Google offers. There we go. Google offers. They're going to probably start including those into their own ads.
Yeah, this is going to get quite interesting. Seriously, Google is. Is it safe to say Google today is Microsoft in the 1980s or 1990s? It's looking that way, although they're much more polite and, you know, kind about it. But if you don't accept their initial offer, they'll just do it themselves and stomp you. It seems
well,
to me that they offered.
The difference I would say is this about Google, and it's much to their credit, is they keep such a clean profile. We remember Microsoft, and it was not, like, the stories that were coming out were not kind or favorable. I mean, can you blame Google as you or a me or an average user? Can you go, well, you know, and now they're going to compete, and then they're probably going to eliminate Groupon? Well, the first thing they did was offered them $6 billion.
Indeed.
Billion, right? And they offered them that. So when they come out and go, well, now we're doing our own. Well, of course, you know, fair enough. I mean, you obviously wanted it. You were willing to put $6 billion on the table for it. It was turned down, and shares, I can't remember the exact value, but I can pull it up here in just a minute. But Groupon's down now since that point, and I saw it coming back then, and I knew it was a mistake, and there's no way they would get $6 billion again offered. It's a big mistake on their part. And, yeah, now Google will just come in. FTC will look at it. FTC will clear it. It'll be a fight. Google will cough out some cash to lawyers, and then it'll go on. But
there's
already
the cash,
two major players in the space. So it's, you know, it's just a third major player.
But you know what it was, too, is because Groupon's waiting to get an IPO started.
Yeah, but again, looking at what Google's doing now with Google Offers, throwing them into Gmail, throwing them into regular SERPs, I think the folks at Groupon really, really should be looking back a couple of months and going, damn, we had it. That was the brass ring.
Yeah, they got greedy, and they definitely shouldn't have. There's a whole story in and of itself to go on. For Google to time this at a time when the IPO is going, I mean, you know the bottom's going to be out. I have a feeling that this is going to end up being kind of like that whole Microsoft Yahoo thing we all mocked a while back, where Google will probably have an opportunity to walk back in and go, 820 million, right? Or some number that is just so significantly lower, and Groupon will have to look at that and go, well, that's as good as it gets. Because they'll have just come out at the same time, and who's going to want to buy into the IPO when you've got Google staring you down going, guess what we're doing? And we've got more money than God. It'll be an interesting thing. But I'm pretty sure Google will be cleared on it. There's already two major players in the space. There's really nothing they could do about it. I think going after Groupon would have been more an FTC worthy issue than them launching their own against Groupon.
Earlier you asked about my privacy concerns around Google using my user profile to better serve ads in Gmail. Yeah. I want to defer that until our last segment when we're talking about the data breach at Epsilon.
Right.
Because that's where my concern lies. I mean, it's all algorithmic. It's all machines. No live human is actually reading this stuff at Google. But I don't care about that. I trust Google not to care about what I'm up to above and beyond serving relevant content to me. I don't trust people who are hacking into systems, and we know Google has been hacked in the past. Hmm. But I want to get to that in a few minutes. Brasco, well, we have you on the line.
Yeah.
You finally posted photos of the studio up on Facebook.
I had a little bit of time actually to, you know, do that. It's just been something I thought about, and, you know, it's it was just, it's finally good to have everything all settled. And I could have done this a couple weeks before, but you know what? just to preface before, I bought a new phone. I bought an Android, what T-Mobile calls the MyTouch 4G phone. So that's as about the highest end Android phone there is compared to the iPhone. I bought that this week. And, you know, wanted to try out the camera. I had the studio, wanted to clean up a little bit. And I hadn't put any good pictures up of the studio and a little bit of our backdrop of where we are. So I wanted to just click on a couple of pics and put them up on our first Facebook page, facebook.com/webmasterradio.
So anyone who's out there listening live or to the podcast, go over to the webmasterradio.fm Facebook page, and you can go to it by going to your own Facebook page, typing webmasterradio.fm in the top search bar, and check out these new digs. You know, we were off the air for about 2 weeks while the station moved, and that was very painful for us as announcers, but... Wow, Brasco, looking out your back window, you're right on the Intercoastal.
Yeah, I could basically go outside and just jump into the water. It's
gross. I wouldn't jump in that water.
No, but seriously, you know, there's a nice little dock out there. I mean, you know, if Captain Darren wants to go and bring out his yacht, he can actually dock from where he lives now in his new palatial home. He could actually sail from his home up the Intercoastal to the office if he wanted to.
You remember when I was living down there and I was trying to find a kayak so I could get to work?
it's gorgeous. Can I tell you?
Is there still police tape on the dock?
Oh, you know what? It's because the dock was being worked on this morning.
Oh, okay.
They're reinforcing it.
there's a joke about Darren in there somewhere, but I'm not touching it. Okay, friends, we're burning time here. It's quarter to the hour. We have two more subjects we want to touch. And, well, you know, the reality of being a commercial radio station says we got to hit some commercials before the show's over. Friends, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davis from Beanstalk SEO. You're listening to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm. Show was recorded on Thursday, April the 7th. Stick around. We got some more fun content coming up after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break.
Looking for an affiliate network that can package every solution an advertiser or publisher needs in one account? Your one-stop source for full-service solutions is AdMedia.com. AdMedia delivers an incredible lineup of specialized XML feeds for local, social, and search, plus the advertising arsenal of PPC, SEM, contextual, display, and more. AdMedia gives your campaign real visibility, from emailers to domain redirects. AdMedia tailors your all-in-one campaign to give your account a real advantage. AdMedia.com delivers cost-effective ad solutions with real conversions. Learn everything AdMedia can do for you today. Sign up at AdMedia.com. AdMedia, strong ROI made simple.
Our clients have earned over $1 billion. Now it's your turn. With over 20,000 products to promote across a huge variety of niches, ClickBank provides countless ways for any affiliate to make money. You can promote any product immediately. No contracts required. Looking for recurring commissions? Upsell products? ClickBank's got them. And best of all, you can make up to 75% commissions. Ready to become the next ClickBank success story? Sign up now for free at clickbank.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101.
Catch us Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the search engine optimization channel only on webmasterradio.fm.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Webcology here on webmasterradio.fm. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from Beanstalk SEO, and I'm trying out my NPR voice for the rest of the show. You ever listen to the American public broadcaster, Dave, NPR?
No, I don't.
They have this level of enunciation in their radio hosts. And I know Brasco in the studio is like pounding his fists on the wall, hating NPR. But one thing, you know, I'm going to say for them is they have this level of enunciation in their show host voices that blows me away. It's just I'm calling it NPR voice, and I'm fascinated by it and want to learn how to do it. But we're running out of time, so I don't know if I really have time to enunciate properly. According to ClickZ, article published today by Jonathan Shapiro, we have entered a new era, the era of Search 3.0. Now, I've never been really good with the point with 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, you know, where the demarcation marks are, and you know, why we would say it's this much different today than it was, so different today that it's a brand new version. But you know, Jonathan makes some pretty good points in here, and I just want to, before jumping into the article itself, Dave, would you say that search has changed so fundamentally that we're really in a different version today than we were, say, this time last year?
I hit the same problems as you, is because it happens over time. It's like, where was that marker, right? Where did it stop being one thing and grow into being another? But I think if I reflect back to search, and search optimization even 2-3 years ago, and then compare it to today, and compare what features are in there and what Google's doing, yeah, I would say these are different versions. But where did that happen is where it becomes a little curious to me, right? Is what feature addition was it, or what algorithmic shift was it that tipped us over that scale? But I would definitely have to agree that comparing the search experience right now to, say, the experience of even 2 or 3 years ago, yeah, we're definitely in a new experience now, well, where we've got different types of results.
Here's a key metric for you. You know what the search marketing industry is worth in revenues from 2010?
What's that?
According to Core Metrics, $35 billion. Now, I feel like Dr. Evil. I got my little finger up against the side of my mouth and I say, $35 billion. That's $35,000 million. That's a metric. That's a key metric. Groupon is worth less than $35 billion, for goodness sake. I wish I hadn't said that. I don't wish to insult Groupon and the fine offerings they have there. However,
however, you'll proceed to do so anyway.
You pegged it, Dave. Groupon is my new Yahoo. I can't help it. Damn. So
the irony being, I actually do like Groupon, and I purchase a wide array of things from there to try out new restaurants and stuff. But so a fine service, but bad business move.
Did the Mini Buy Beers the other day? That was all Groupon's doing?
Pardon me?
You didn't really buy beers the other day when we went down to the George. That was all
that
Groupon's
doing?
It
was all Groupon. Yeah. Unfortunately, I guess you could get beer at some of the restaurants with them. But, okay, let's stay on track here and not get me distracted thinking about drinking beer with Jim Hedger. They bring up some good points in the article, and I think it goes even past this, too, but they've done a good job of covering it in, like, a very broad, gee, let's not list every little thing that makes this what it is, and because we all know it. Let's cover this in a broad way. I found their point one kind of funny, but when we look at things like the number two, which we touched on earlier, sorry, and I'm just going to go through their list over on the ClickZ website. Actually, before I do that, let me just post a link to it into our chat. Everybody should be in there. The thing is, if you go to the number two, search means more than Google. Well, we were touching on that earlier, and I think that's one of the big separation points of what was happening a couple years ago versus what is happening now. And really where that's going to carry us forward into, you can call it 3.0, whatever you want, into 3.1, 3.2, et cetera, is this integration of additional data. And some of it won't be really obvious. Like, I can see Twitter in my results. But when we were talking with Rand, I guess it was about a month ago, maybe a little more than that, about the use of Twitter as a factor in the organic results. So taking these social signals, to me, that's probably the number one biggest thing that now goes, this is a brand new thing. And it is when we are starting to take the human element, not just my human click element, or me as a personalized, I'm signed in, so you can change this, but me as somebody who can send a signal as an individual on what holds value and what doesn't, and send that through in real time. We've always been able to vote with a link, but not everybody did that. Not everybody had a website. This is a way that my dad can send a signal that augments the search results. My grandmother can send a signal that augments the search results because we're using Facebook, because we're using Twitter as a communication tool. And I think that's where the line really, for me, really got drawn was when Google all of a sudden, and the other engines, and Bing doing a great job of it as well, of pulling in social signals and using those. We talk about Google a lot, but there's a reason that Bing is a shareholder of Facebook, right? Apart from ads, they've come out and said they're going to be using signals from Facebook, right? So, and what better signal is there? The advertising I like best in the paid world is actually on Facebook as a user. So, to me, that's where the line got drawn, was when Twitter started being used as an organic, not even just being put in there as a result, but when it started to get used to augment the results organically, even when it may not be obvious. To me, that social signal set is really when it became a brand new game.
For me, I think I have to take a step back until maybe last June, last July 2010, when mobile and local became the what I see as the dominant signal senders to Google. You remember at a time when we would see really pure search results across North America. See the same results in Florida as you'd see in Seattle, but you'd see the same results in California as you would in Newfoundland. Unless, of course, they were searching on a regional domain like .ca. But then local and mobile came along, and the result sets just changed dramatically. Google had been working with personalization before, focusing on local and mobile, but we know that the work on personalization was all about local and mobile. And I'd say that was when first we had the straight search era, then we had the paid search era, now we have social, local, and mobile. And all these things have to be considered by marketers, either search marketers or just general in-house marketers, as important channels to push your signal through the search engines, to push your information through the search engines, to give the search engines the feeds and information they need to make you higher than your competitor. And honestly, I'd say the major shift in the search results from general and paid to very specific, personalized, and localized results is that was the radical game changer. And I see social search as just augmenting the personal and local stuff.
Well, you know what, and it's interesting because I look at the personalization more as the filtering of results, whereas as the social side as being more an indicator of something that will augment the initial set of results that you would get. But either way, and it's one of those interesting times, and we're hitting them. This I find curious as well. We're hitting them more and more and more in our conversations today. This is the second time it's happened today where we have two people with solid and valid opinions on something, and the conclusion is exactly the same, even though the reasoning. You know, you may define something a little bit different than I am, and I'm starting to hear this happening a lot in the SEO realm, where I think one thing, you think another, but it actually, and it makes for an interesting discussion, but it actually doesn't matter, because you know what? We're both going to do the same thing, because we recognize that the end result is the same. It's the interpretation of what is producing that result, or where the line is getting drawn in 3.0. But we both agree the world has changed dramatically, and social, mobile, local, personalization, all of these are major factors coming into play, and it's going to be more and more important as we go forward. So, interesting, and I'll bet in next week's show we'll probably have something happen again, because it's happening almost every week when we chat now.
Oh, certainly. There'll be a lot more to talk about next week, and I'm afraid we're going to have to leave the privacy issues until next week. It's the tyranny of time. We are at the top of the hour, and we have to conclude the show. We have other content coming up after us, and I really want to jump into the Epsilon issue. Next week it'll be a dead issue, but I'm pretty sure somebody else is going to get hacked between now and then, so we'll have lots to talk about. So, on behalf of Dave Davies from Beanstalk SEO, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You've been listening to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm for Thursday, the 7th of April. You can listen to Webcology live every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to us on iTunes Radio. You can pick us up on the Webmaster Radio archives, pick up our podcasts. You can pick up our podcasts from iTunes or any other fine podcast distribution service out there. Friends, stick around the network. We have some amazing content coming up after the news. Talk to you next week.